There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so let's hear a little bit from Chris Pronger. Obviously honored last night. Jersey raised to the Raptors at 44, retired. And we're going to hear two things from Pronger tonight. First, I want you to hear a little bit of last night. Now, it was probably 15 minutes, 16 minutes that he talked. I picked out a couple of different sections and pasted them together to get a vibe for what it was like last night. I thought he did an amazing job. It's not easy to talk about your career and about all of these things and do that in front of a huge audience, live like that, but also knowing that people are listening on the radio and watching on TV. And I thought Pronger did a really good job of being real, being fun, being relatable, being funny, but also, telling the story as you'd like to hear it told from the perspective of a guy that had one hell of a career. After we hear a little of this, I want to do some of the same with the conversation that Pronger had with Tom Ackerman last month, because it was kind of a preview looking ahead to this night and some really interesting stuff in there about his philosophy about playing the game, how he learned to become the player that he was. So I'm going to kind of mix and match with these two things, starting with some of what he had to say last night. And of course, the fun part about his arrival in St. Louis, not always being the smoothest at the very beginning.
When I was traded here from Hartford, I didn't realize how big of a fan favorite Shanny was, so thank you for allowing me the first 60, 70 games of my career here in St. Louis to be known that I needed to step up my game a little bit. I wanted to thank Mike Keenan for bringing me here to St. Louis. He was tough. He wasn't always a player favorite, but he certainly helped me in my career, obviously brought me here to St. Louis, to all you. And then that year with the veteran leaders that we had, what better than Grant Fuhr in that, somebody that could always calm the play down and calm things down when it got a little hairy at times as a young kid coming in here. Having somebody like Fuhrzy back there was awesome to allow me the time to make the mistakes, and he would always just kind of accept the blame, and meanwhile I'm over in the corner getting yelled at by Mike, but it happens. Brett Hull was a captain when I got here. To reminisce about the Hully stories, it might take too long, so I'll just leave it at that. We all know what he means to this franchise. Other guys like Jeff Courtnell was always somebody that I talked to, whether it be on the bus or in the locker room. He saw me countless times go into the Mike Keenan parade to get yelled at, and he was another guy that I really leaned on for veteran advice and leadership. When we got Wayne Gretzky that year, that's when things kind of turned. Your attention got off me and went to him. And I thank you for that. It allowed me to kind of get my game straight. And, watching him day in, day out, accept the pressure from you, the pressure from the media and the scrutiny, being able to see that up close and personal certainly helped me throughout my career. And then obviously Al, what do you say? Being able to watch that night in, night out. Day in, day out, seeing how he prepared for the games, for practice, training, eating habits, how to be a pro. And, I think having that opportunity, had I gone to a different organization and not had a chance to play with a guy like Al, who knows where I would be. And to you all, Not yet. From boos to cheers, you always showed passion for the game, for my style of play, and I thank you very much for helping mold me into the man that I've become, a young 20-year-old at when I got here in the favored trade for Shanny. Leaving a man at 30 with two kids, soon to be three, and a wife. When you play in a city for 10 years and move back to a city, I've been here now 10 more years. And think about my hometown of Dryden. I lived there 15, so this is my new adopted home. Being here now 20 years. You always motivated me to play harder, pushed me to play to be my best, and held me to a standard that I relished and tried to match. So cheers to you all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for having me. Let's watch it go up. Cheers. Thank you all.
Great stuff. From Chris Pronger last night. Obviously, that last part, that's a good closer right there. He did a fantastic job. Obviously, a great player. Isn't it interesting, though, how that goes? I mean, it's funny now we can joke about how he was treated when he first got to St. Louis because a popular player was traded away that brought him in. And it's interesting that he was traded away in almost an identical type of deal a little bit later on, and of course, you know, we know Eric Brewer didn't turn out to be Chris Pronger, but he was a solid player, but he had the same problem. Well, you know, he's not as popular as Pronger, and he's new, and he's not perfect, so we're going to boo him all the time. It's funny how that works. And in this case, it turns out okay, because this guy's a Hall of Famer in his own right. All right, let's hear a little bit more from Pronger. And last month, in a lead-up to the number being retired and the jersey being raised up to the stands and all of that, the toast with the Bud Light, he talked a little bit with Tom Ackerman on the Garage Happy Hour, going through some of that same stuff about developing from a young guy to, you know, essentially a superstar during his time with the Blues, and also kind of, you know, what his DNA is, you know, in terms of how he plays the game and how he learned to be physical and how that ended up benefiting him down the road.
Obviously, 10 years in St. Louis and came as a 20-year-old and left as a 30-year-old, almost 31. So a lot of development between that time frame, and a lot happened, good and bad, which is great. You know, the ups and downs and the, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, you see, people going to the Hall of Fame or they have their number retired and, you know, everybody thinks it was easy and everybody thinks that there was no adversity or heartache along the way. And I think when you talk to anybody who's had the opportunity and the honor of being in those situations, that's all they remember is the adversity and what drives and pushes them. And, you know, that's certainly the same for me. I wasn't exactly a fan favorite my first year.
Yeah, traded for Brendan Shanahan.
My name was Lou.
Traded for Brendan Shanahan. Well, the Jack Buck Awards the other night, we had Gary Unger there, and I was asked to present him. And the first line of my presentation speech was, Gary Unger was traded for Red Berenson. I mean, that is a tall task. Yeah. So you were traded for Brendan Shanahan. And so your career, and you mentioned, I mean, it spanned a decade here, but, you know, it ended not the way you wanted. It started in an awkward kind of fashion.
Probably not the way I wanted.
Right? But in between, boy, there was some good stuff. But I love what you just said, because the adversity is kind of what builds you. Who said that the other day? Adam Wainwright. Is fueled by, he remains fueled by. And people would think, you know, Adam Wainwright's such a nice guy, and you see him in all these videos and hugging people and shaking hands. Adam Wainwright is fueled by people who say he can't do it.
Yeah.
And if you look at
any elite athlete, any athlete that's worth his salt, and any athlete that is uber competitive,
the little birdie telling you, or the quote machine that's always telling, oh, he can't do it. He can't do it. That's what gets guys up in the morning to train, to push themselves, to, you know, want to prove people wrong. I mean, it just, that's what fuels you. You use that as motivation and energy to push and push you in the dog days and in the good days, use that as motivation. Like, you can't let up, you know, when things are going good and things are great, the layperson has the tendency to just kind of let off the gas. And that's when the elite guy is pushing harder and jamming his foot on the accelerator going, okay, if I feel good, then how good can I really get?
Yeah.
And I mean, so having that ability to push yourself past points where most people are comfortable is what makes the Adam Wainwrights of the world who they are.
I watched you go up against the best of the best. I know there was mutual respect. They respected you. You respected their ability. But there also had to be an edge on your part because you played with an edge unlike any athlete I've ever covered. I mean, how did you kind of muster that for a game? No, I mean, you're a pro. You knew who you were up against, but you had this edge to you. Did you not?
Yeah, I knew. I figured out early on in my teenage years that I didn't like being friends with my opponents. You know, like guys are buddy-buddy and hanging out with guys and doing all. I didn't like doing that. Number one, I was too competitive. Number two, I've got to play against this guy. I'm trying to hurt him. Like, I'm trying to hit him as hard as I can. Like, so I'm not trying to injure him. I'm trying to hurt him. I want him to feel some pain so that he might not want to go get that puck. He might not want to go in front of the net. He might choose an alternative path to get somewhere that's going to buy me a second or two to be able to exit the zone. I was always a PA rep and all that. I mean, I'd go to these meetings, I'd sit by myself because nobody wanted to sit with me because they hated me. Well, I'm perfectly fine with that because I also wasn't out there making friends. I wasn't out there giving guys love taps. You know, you get to a face-off, you give a guy a whack in the laces, you give a guy a whack in the wrist. And you get in front of the net, you start inflicting a little massaging techniques on their feet and their knees and their calves and their arms and their back. They don't necessarily want to stand in front of the net anymore. So just knowing how I needed to play to be the most effective and the best that I could be. And part of that is just how I'm wired. I mean, that's the only way I know how to play the game.
Well, it worked. It doesn't hurt, you know, to have that when you have that instinct, when you have that kind of, you know, that wiring, if you will, but use the words that Pronger used there, when you're also the biggest guy on the ice most nights. Because nobody's going to turn around and be like, yeah, I want a piece of that guy because, he's big and stuff. I'm not going to go there. But what a great career. I thought what a great night for him last night. I love the line about, you know, wanting to hurt people but not injure them. I think that, you know, a lot of people in sports can identify with that, right? I mean, especially in the contact sports like hockey and football, you're always trying to do damage, but obviously you don't want it to be serious. You don't want to see anybody injured, but you definitely don't mind if they get up a little slow. You definitely don't mind if you impact their performance in future games or even later in that particular game with the pain that you've inflicted at any given point. All right, we're going to stick around. We got some football coming your way in just a little bit. We got baseball next hour as well. And I want to get into just this complaining, this just the whining. We're already hearing the whining in football circles about the non-competitive games in the wild card round, and people already like, yeah, sure, expand the playoffs. Because, you know, adding one team in each conference really watered down the competition. Get to that next up on KMOX.